Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Tyler. Reveal joins us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. And I got to tell you, Lance, it is such a crock of crap that Alex Cora was exonerated in this two years. It is such a crock that he went from the Astros being the brains, the mastermind, doing everything he possibly could to cheat, to do, and suspended for a year. He and Carlos Beltran and the wink, wink, wink about Carlos Beltran with the Yankees. He goes to the Red Sox. They're doing the same thing with the replay room, only he had no idea. If this isn't the biggest crock of bull I have ever seen, it just shows you that this is all about money, because the Red Sox are such a valuable organization, and they do not want what happened to the Astros, public relations-wise, to happen to the Red Sox. They can't be hated like they – see, the Astros can be hated. You got your villain now. That's fine. The Astros don't move the needle nationally for Major League Baseball, but the Red Sox certainly do. And you can't have them being virtually hated by everyone else because you saw what it did to this Astros organization. This is such a money play. This is such bull. This is the biggest bull. That's the biggest cheater. I'm looking at him on ESPN right now. That is the biggest cheater in baseball history, and he gets exonerated. That's a load of crap.
I'm with you. I mean, I don't. You know, let me know if my connection's okay today. Because if not, I want to tear into his ass, and I want to tear into I don't want to tear into him. I want to tear into Major League Baseball. And you know, here's something that really bothers me. I forgot that he was even terminated. It's just been so long since anything's happened with that. I'm like, I heard that the stuff went down, like, oh, he's suspended for a year. I'm like, good, screw the Red Sox. And I was like, wait a minute. Wasn't Cora let go of? Yeah, that's right. He was let go of and Beltran was let go of. So in essence, there was no punishment other than a second-round pick. Look, a second-round pick is not nothing, but really it is nothing. Now, had they not done that, had they not fired him, then they would have lost their manager. Okay, I get that. But to say, you know what really irritated me about the whole thing?
Well, they wouldn't have lost their manager, though.
He would have been suspended for the season. Well, yeah, because
no,
of the,
not
because
if he didn't
COVID.
Have the Astros stuff. If it wasn't for the Astros stuff, he wouldn't be suspended at all.
I get that. So this has multiple pieces for us to get through. The Astros stuff, he should have gotten in trouble for. And he did. He was a big part of it. He was a coach. He did get in trouble for it. So that carried over into this. He's not going to get in trouble for it twice. What you're pissed and what I'm pissed about is the willful ignorance of Major League Baseball to say, oh, no. We believe there was a sign-stealing scheme. We just don't think the manager knew anything about it. When odds are he was instrumental in bringing it there or at least fine-tuning it. Now, with that said, it's highly unlikely that the Red Sox, after seeing what's happened with the Astros in public, do you think the Red Sox actually really cooperate? Now, granted, it did happen further back when they did the interviews. I doubt anybody with the Red Sox cooperated, because you know what it does? It tanks their World Series.
Well, they didn't want that. Here's the deal. they had, you know what, they're not going to be punished. Even if they were found out to be lying, which they all did. Which, they, if they said Cora didn't have anything to do with it. Because, listen, they said that this intern, this replay intern, was the one who did it, right? Watkins, JT Watkins. He's the one that did it all. Okay, really? He masturbated? Really? Okay, great. Okay, so this intern did it. But apparently players knew because they were the ones that were benefiting from it. So you're telling me that the guy that masterminded the whole thing here, Alex Cora, didn't even know that his players were getting tips from the replay room and instead of him actually setting the whole damn thing up with JT Watkins. But here's the deal is they could lie because they knew, look at, not one player got anything for the Astros. You know what's going to happen to us? Well, they got together and they said, everybody lie. Everybody lie. Nothing's happening to us anyway. And if we all say the same thing, not to worry, boys, we're going to be okay. So everybody say the same damn thing, and we're going to be just fine. And what did they lose? A second-round pick and an intern. And you know that intern is getting paid now. You know that guy's going to get paid. This organization's going to take care of him for taking the fall. He'll be back.
Yeah, they should. He got
and
pinched,
he'll be
and
back
he took
somewhere.
The pinch.
That's right. He took the pinch. That's right. And he kept his mouth shut. He took one for the team. He's going to do his time, and his family's taken care of for life. Okay? Because that's what's going to happen. What a load of crap. It took how long did this take? How long did this take? 6-7 months for this all of this crap to come out for whatever 4 months whatever it was.
5 months. Yeah.
Yeah. This is what you came up with, a second round pick and an intern. That's it. And Alex Cora, the mastermind in Houston, had no idea. And they're doing the same damn thing in Boston the very next year. Are you kidding me? This is I have less respect for. I mean, I get it. I get it. But I have so little respect for Major League Baseball right now. Screw them. That they just let the Astros, because they're just, and we're Astros. We like these guys. These guys are, they are. They're good guys. They made mistakes. There's no question. They made mistakes, and it was bad. It's bad because they knew they were cheating, and they continued to do it, and they were getting an edge over everybody. It was bad, and they did it. But don't tell me that they have got to take the brunt of all of this when it was going on in other places. Now Rob Manfred is sticking his head in the sand saying, that's it, all clean here, all done here. Because you know what? No one else is going to do this. No one else is going to do this. But the Astros are the face of this, and it will be forever the 1919 Black Sox, forever. And they're going to take the whole thing as opposed to anybody else catching any heat whatsoever. And that's a load of crap. That is a load of crap. Because it was going, oh, the Yankees, really, with Carlos Beltran the year before, 2 years after he's there, and he's the mastermind here, and the Yankees didn't do anything either? Give me a break. These people, I have no respect for Rob Manfred or baseball right now. None.
Yeah,
but
zero. Here's the problem. What got the Astros is they had A, video evidence, and B, they had players. They had a smoking gun. You can be mad just like I am at Manfred and all that, but they don't have a smoking gun. That's the problem. Mike Fiers gave them what they needed to prosecute.
But here's why, Lance. Here's the deal. Is that because they saw that you can lie. They saw you can lie and get away with it because players are not going to be, they're not going to get any punishment. Players are exonerated in this thing. And all you got to do, hey, all stick together, boys, all stick to the plan. And if you stick to the plan, like that's never happened. This happens all the time in our judiciary system. Hey, just stick to this plan. Hey, I didn't know nothing. I got nothing. I got nothing for you here. Nothing. Here, this is it. Oh, no, it's this intern. He came out. Oh, it happened 4 or 5 times. That's all. What a crock. This is, and this took 5 months to come up with this BS. Are you kidding me?
I'm telling
baseball
you.
Baseball is embarrassing.
Mike Fiers is the entire, everything revolves around him. This started because of Fiers. Fiers was the important smoking gun that they could force Astros players to talk. There is no Mike Fiers for the Red Sox. There will be no Mike Fiers for the Yankees if that ever comes up. There's no Mike Fiers for the Dodgers. This is all going to be worn by the Astros because they don't have to talk. There was not a disgruntled player to come out. So there's no reason. There's no – and guess what? If Mike Fiers doesn't come out, ain't nobody from the Astros saying, hey, listen, guys, I felt really bad about the trash can bangs. Even with John Boy coming out with those videos, guess what? Astros would have never, ever talked. They would have never talked until Fiers put them on blast and gave the commissioner all the leverage. They don't have leverage against the Red Sox. No one's ratting for the Red Sox.
That's
no
true.
One's
well,
going to.
That's right. That's right. It, but if he told them, okay.
We know the deal, though. It's Cora was a huge part of it. He was huge
it's
in Houston.
This is such crap.
To think and that now, anybody, that it's just like, oh, it was, remember when they said it was the guy who was, who was it? The one, the guy with the Astros, they tried to say, well, this is the guy that really came up with, you know, the code-breaking stuff. And he's like, well, maybe he did, but he's not responsible for the code-breaking thing was actually legal. Code-breaking is actually
code-breaking
legal.
Code-breaking is legal.
What's not legal to do is try to disseminate the information real-time to hitters, and then the action the Astros took by taking the replay monitor, that went a step further. What I'm curious about is, my guess is they had something going on with the replay monitor, but there is no video to show any irregularities with sound or anything visual where they could tie it, like the Astros had stupid trash.
Here's what the Red Sox were doing. The replay guy, you can use the replay room after the game, and you can break down all of their signs, and you can say you can figure them out, and you can decode them and everything else. Mm-hmm. And then you get before the baseball game, you can give that to the players, and you can tell them what that's all about and everything else. But when they changed them for that game, you can't use the room anymore. But they were still using the room, apparently, relaying that to the dugout. And when a guy gets on second base, he would relay that to the hitter. So that's what they were doing as opposed to the Astros, who were using it in real time and banging to get it to the batter at the plate. Yep. The Red Sox allegedly were not doing that, allegedly. Allegedly not doing that. There
is
no
baseball, that's considered – they said they did it, whatever it was, 16.7% of the time or whatever when there were men on – when there was a man on second. Like,
right,
they did it
right.
The way that you would think that you would, only I don't see – well, so it wasn't as – supposedly it wasn't as in-depth as the Astros.
Yeah. Yes, right. And that's not nearly as bad. Oh, really? It's not? Okay. All right. And we're supposed to believe the guy that masterminded everything the year before in Houston and won a World Series. Then next year, he wins a World Series with the Red Sox. And that same guy who masterminded it had absolutely no idea what – and he's the manager of the team. Well, and somebody brought up a good point. He said, well, wait a minute. He should have known. Isn't that what Luno got suspended for a year for? He should have known?
Right.
Because they have no – other than the decoding, you know, the decoding was legal too. But Luno didn't know anything about real time on the field. But Luno gets a year suspension because he should have known. Wait a minute, Alex Cora doesn't. There's no punishment for Alex Cora when he should have known.
Well, but let's just tell the truth. The Astros knew. They were all complicit. They all knew. A big part of that, from everything that has already been discussed, is there are three primary culprits who knew. One of them was not super excited about it, and A.J. Hinch, but it still went on under his watch, and so the buck still stops there. So I'm not absolving him. I'm just saying, by all accounts and everything that was said by players, A.J. Hinch was not a big fan. We know that Alex Cora was a major part of that. We know that, and they even said Beltran was probably the ringleader, followed by Cora. Cora went off to the Red Sox, who won a World Series the next year. I mean, come on. The Astros had not been caught. Common sense would tell you, but it doesn't work off of common sense, and nor should it. You still should have to have proof. I'm a firm believer in you got to have proof. Let's not start condemning everyone who's innocent because of just conjecture. However, let's also realize that the Red Sox, who were just in trouble for that, they just got in trouble for it, to assume that Alex Cora had nothing to do with that or didn't know, is absolutely preposterous. There were no rats who spoke. That's the only thing that happened there. Yankees, I'm even more upset about the Yankees, John. You can be upset about the Red Sox, but to me, for Major League Baseball, and I know Richard Justice came on here when you weren't on and just said the Yankees didn't do anything, there's nothing there. How in the world are we supposed to be so blind to the common sense that says Beltran brought it into the Astros and showed them. He came from the Yankees. Then he went to the Yankees afterwards. Why in the world would we believe that the Yankees and the Red Sox had no inkling of what was going on at the very top when the guys who were two of the masterminds were right there reaping the benefits of the Astros? That's obviously, you have to be so dense not to tie those two things together.
And the damning evidence is Beltran walking in, which every player said is you guys are way behind on this cheating stuff. So he had been doing it, and he knew it. Are you kidding me? This is the whole thing is Major League Baseball. You're a cuck. You are. You're sitting in the corner watching everybody do things to your game, and you're a cuck, and you just sit there. You're embarrassing, Rob Manfred. You're embarrassing. I'm. You know what? I'll watch Astros baseball, but baseball can go screw itself. I'm telling you, screw you, baseball.
Well, you ain't gonna watch
you, because you
year.
Are because it, you know this is all about money. This is all about reputation, keeping the Red Sox reputation fine, making sure that the Red Sox are still a team that everybody will watch on Sunday Night Baseball. To screw you, but throw the Astros right under the bus for the same damn thing.
I think it's even more than that. I think Major League Baseball, I think it's less about the Red Sox, and I think it's more about Major League Baseball saying, we cannot have back-to-back World Series tarnished. We cannot have this happen. So unless one of you forces our hand and goes to the Athletic or ESPN or whatever, this ain't happening.
Well, and not only that, though. I mean, so they all lied. But they all had the Astros script already, too. The Red Sox all had the Astros script. So you get all those guys together and you say, listen, we've got to make sure that deuces everybody. You better be on the same page here. This happened a few times during the regular season, and it never happened in the postseason because they did change the rules in the postseason. It was a lot tougher. Remember that, guys. It was a lot tougher. So we got to make sure because everybody's calling into question the Astros World Series, but we don't want to call into question our World Series. So make sure that everybody's on the same page here. We did not in any way, shape, or form do it. We couldn't do it in the postseason. Got it, guys? Got it. Okay. Now let's talk to Rob Manfred. Screw you. Screw you, baseball. You're a bunch of screw you. All right, we got to talk right now about somebody who's good. And good. This is good versus evil. Baseball evil? Chastain Ford. Good. Chastain Ford is great because how about customers? You can request a video walk around. You can request a home test drive. Or you can just buy from home at Chastain at home. You do it at ChastainFord.com. The facility is clean and safe. Designated areas to keep customers and employees at a safe distance. If they want to come into the store to shop or take delivery, you can do that. If you want to bring your car in to get serviced, you can do that as well. Or they will pick it up, and they will fix it, they will sanitize it, and they will bring it back. So you don't have to go to the dealership. All of this is going on at Chastain Ford. These people are spectacular. If you're looking for – listen – you got to get your payments down. They get it. They know it, and they're doing it every day. So get to Chastain Ford. They got 0% financing for 84 months. They've got no payments for 6 months, and they got nothing down. How's that? Is that anything? Is that any good? You got everything that's going to help you out in these 6 months, these next 6 months and beyond, 7 years beyond at ChastainFord.com. ChastainFord.com, it's on 610, just two exits east of 59, 5 minutes from downtown. It's on the Homestead exit, not Hempstead, Homestead. It's Chastain Ford.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you've got thoughts about this Red Sox BS, you're more than welcome to get in. And I'm getting hit back. When it came out, I'm watching MLB, and I'm just disgusted. Bob Costas, well, it was thorough, and it clearly exonerates Alex Cora, who had nothing to do with it, and he's suspended for his Astros indiscretions. But you know what? Now this leaves the door open for the Red Sox to bring him back next year. That'll be interesting to see whether or not the – are you kidding me? And that's actually, I think the Red Sox have said they're not bringing him back. So, they're you know what? We appreciate Alex. They said they had a goodbye.
No,
we appreciate Alex Cora. They can't. They know. They lied. They did every. They know that they got away with one, but they wouldn't even have the balls to bring Alex Cora back and say, you know what? Let's show him. Let's do this. Manfred probably said, listen, guys, I'm going to come out with this finding. Alex Cora is done here. You got that? Yes, sir. No problem. No more Alex Cora. We got it. Okay. All right, great. Okay, so you got away with one here, boys. Nice job. Congratulations.
Yep. There you go. There you have it. Today is officially draft day. The NFL draft starts. I've been thinking about, so if you have any questions, my mock draft will come out sometime today. I finished it last night. It took about, I did it actually fast yesterday. It only took 5 hours, which usually takes 6 to 7. But, and then tonight, hopefully this connection will be good on the air so I can do the show from here, because I may just sleep with McCool's tonight. This is going to be a long, long night for me personally, but I'm excited about having something to look forward to. If you're not an NFL fan, though, if you're not somebody who usually watches the draft, I don't think tonight you're just going to be like, oh, my God, sports. I can't wait to go follow a bunch of players I've never heard of and have
well,
no
that's
context
not the case.
For 4 hours. That ain't going to be the case.
That's not the case ever, though. That's never
the case. That's what I'm saying. This is not going to be this idea that this will be the most watched thing like the Super Bowl. No, it's not.
No.
Jordan
No, but it'll be the most watched. It could be one of the most watched drafts since everybody is.
I don't
you know,
think so.
Why is a hostage.
Why is everyone. But it
because
doesn't.
Everybody. Because, first of all, we haven't had anything to watch, right? Nothing live to watch. You know, and NFL is the number one.
But this is four and a half hours of players you've never
heard
of.
Well, right. But I'm talking about early on or whatever, when it peaks. Not all 4.5 hours, but when it peaks. And you know what? We're all captive audience. And we're NFL fans, and NFL is the biggest, is the monster. So there's a good chance that, and we're starving for something.
I'll bet you the numbers are actually talk about. Well, here's the difference. It's going to be on multiple channels, so it will help bolster it a little bit. ESPN and NFL Network and ABC. But here's
right.
the thing.
Now, listen, being on ABC helps tremendously.
It's a big deal, but here's the problem. If you are not somebody who follows sports, there was a good chance you still checked in on the Jordan documentary because you knew who Jordan was because he transcended.
Yeah, but don't forget, it was only on ESPN. It's on cable. It's a different deal.
I understand, but it was a documentary. It's well done. It's concise. There's music, and it was tight. There's a tight 1 hour for one. There's a tight 1 hour for the next. This will not be tight. It will not be concise. It will be players that you've never – that many people – most people will have never heard of.
However,
tell you that.
However, I know when my team is coming up in big cities throughout the mm-hmm. country, L.A.,
yes.
New York, Chicago, I know, you know, not Houston.
Nothing changes.
Nothing changes. Not Houston per se. But no, nothing changes. But again, I think it'll do well.
I think it's going to be about like it usually is. It might be down a little. You won't have the Houston market watching more than likely. Not. Unless you are a hardcore draft fan, there's no reason for you to watch it.
Or you're an NFL fan. You haven't had anything to do.
You might, but NFL, one thing we found is that NFL fans care about their team. They don't care about other teams, and they don't care about college players. College fans tune in a lot for the draft because, especially if they have a stake in it, and they know who all these players are. I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think this idea that there's this match, you thought the Jordan numbers would be a lot higher, too. And they weren't because of the audience.
Six is a nice number on ESPN.
It's a nice number, but for this captive audience, and we got nothing else to watch.
Well, don't forget
the
ABC.
Was it being
I'm
a
just telling
digits.
You. It could get close to double digits. This could get on
the
ABC.
Draft.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I hope it'd be, it. I really don't care one way or another. The draft's going down. It's going to happen. I just want to make sure we have games to actually play. You know, a draft is all fine and good unless you can't play any games. So that's still in the back of my mind is that are we going to have games to play this year? That's a big concern for me. Where these guys go, I'm doing it just like I always do. And I got some good info and intel
over the last couple of days.
All right, so let's do it on the other side.
Yeah, if you have any questions, 713-780-3776. I don't care who your team is. I will hook you up with your team or who your players are, where they could go, and what I'm hearing. But you got to call in, 713-780-3776. Or if you're listening on Twitter, you can hit us up at Lance Zierlein or at John Granato. I want to tell you about something else you need to hit up right now, and that's Blackland Distillery. Blackland Distillery and my guy Marcus, who is the owner and I don't know what they're called, the batch masters, distillery master. He's a guy with – he's a certified sommelier. He just did that because he wanted to learn more about it, and he that's his level of excellence. He went to culinary school to learn about that. He's a lawyer. He is a high-performing, driven person. And when he was driven to start his own distillery, he went headfirst, full force, into the process to make sure he could get the most advanced processes and technologies that he could find. And the result is a strikingly smooth finish. I can tell you this, on the bourbon, had my first bourbon cocktail with Blackland, and it was phenomenal. If you like bourbon, you drink this straight, and you're in great, you're going to be in a great spot. It's got an overall corn profile with a little bit of a fruit finish. It's got a nice clean barrel vanilla and light grain finish and smoothness to it with light tobacco flavors. It's soft, it's drinkable, and it's something that I can tell you beverage directors around Houston at the restaurants are going crazy over this. Same thing in Dallas. Blackland Distillery, gin, vodka, bourbon, or rye, all four available for you right here distilled in Texas. Go to Specs Liquor Store or Total Wines, or ask for it where you buy your alcohol. It's Blackland Distillery, distinctively original.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Tyler, Raheel at 9 o'clock. We'll find out what he thinks about all of this. We got some calls, Lance, but people want to talk. You got some insight into the draft. We got somebody who wants to talk about that. But first, John wants to get in here, and he wants to talk about Rob Manfred, the great Rob Manfred. What do you say there, John?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I don't really know what you expected Rob Manfred to do. You know, he was doing his job. He's just a good little soldier for Major League Baseball, and, you know, he was there. Little Patsy. I mean, he's going to take care of the teams and their money. So, you know, I'm not mad at him. This whole thing is bogus, though. We are the scapegoats. I don't know if you've read the article on Sports Illustrated written by Tom Verducci. It's about how the Major League teams were installing these super cameras in their ballparks. It's a good read. I'd suggest anybody look it up and read it. And I tell you this, the subject of that article is not the Astros, the Red Sox, nor the Yankees. Speaking of back-to-back World Series, it's a really good read, and I highly suggest people look it up.
Oh, cool. We appreciate it. Tom Verducci. He's a good baseball guy. If he agrees with us, then I'm all about it.
Yeah, it's pretty important if you want to be a good baseball guy.
If he agrees with us. All right, 713-780-3776. Joe wants to talk about the draft. What do you say, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I don't really care about the draft, but do you guys notice that Lance sounds like Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys? And John is more like a sheriff at that show? Hmm. That's it. Thanks.
I've heard about the show, but I don't watch it. So I don't
Trailer
know.
Trailer Park Boys?
Yeah, I know the show he's talking about, but I've never watched it.
Not the Australian one. What is that one?
No, that's Angry Boys.
Angry Boys.
I've watched almost I've watched almost all of Trailer Park Boys. I would say it's basically a Canadian version of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia if every cast character was Mac and Charlie.
Oh, well, that sounds like I should watch.
It's actually pretty funny.
Although Dennis is pretty strong.
Dennis is very strong, but it's just whacked out schemes that they try and do on every show.
Yeah, I'll just take it as a compliment, what he said. I'm just going to take it. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I don't really, to answer his draft question, yeah, I mean, they could draft Simmons, but I don't think so. You had to read between the lines to get his question.
I didn't get that. That was way over. That you read between, like, not only the lines.
Well,
but
that's
you,
what he said. He said you had to read between the lines. And I'm like, okay, go ahead. And it was a question about Isaiah Simmons. Trailer Park Boys. I haven't seen Trailer Park Boys, but it's too far. I've wanted to, but it's just too far down the list of things. Like right when I think I'm going to catch up on a show or a series, it's impossible because something else jumps in the queue. Like my Netflix, I'm looking at Netflix things I put in the queue to watch that are 3 or 4 years old. It's impossible now. Oh, this is your list. Go to my list. My list. Oh my gosh, I didn't even know I forgot about that.
Dude, we're almost through the first season of The Looming Tower. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I mean, it's real, and it's a true story about the FBI and the CIA. It's now, it obviously has some characters and some compilations of people, you know. So it is, but it is. It's pretty damn good.
I'm enjoying Bosch. I'm finishing Bosch season 6. I saw Eric Layden weaseled. That weasel Scott Anderson made his mm-hmm. very, very brief appearance.
No,
I think
that's Eric Layden, the weasel. He's the weasel.
That's what I said, yeah. It's Scott Anderson. Eric asked me to differentiate the two. It's Scott Anderson.
It's really,
but,
to me, it's Eric Layden.
But I can tell you this, it's still a good show. I still love Bosch. I still love the character and all that. The one thing that's starting to annoy me, and this annoys me about literally, it was Dexter. It's literally every show that involves something suspenseful. The ability to break into houses or open safes or open, you know, with just a knife or a credit card or I just how many doors are open in Bosch? There is a record number of unlocked or open doors that are able to facilitate very quick introductions of getting into the house and checking out what's going on. You know,
they've got valuable evidence or information and
that is easily found
in these mansions. And you're like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. They don't have a really good security system.
Here, it's like this. They start to knock on a door. That's a door creaking open.
Yeah.
Guys, the door's open.
I just
clear
once.
Clear. Like they've all got their guns out. Clear. And there's someone dead. Like it was the bad guy got in, left the door open. It's just, it's always so. Yesterday, I'm watching and Bosch takes a pocket knife out and cracks open this, you know, there's a killer who's storing these badges that have the identities of these girls that he's snatched. He's able to open up this lockbox with his pocket knife. Okay, there it is. Real quick, I'm like, guys, I love the show, but can't you just like take it back into the why? Really? This happens in 7 seconds? Is it really that easy? Because if so, I'm not buying locks anymore. What? If you're going to get in my house with a credit card, which I thought they stopped doing that in the 90s on TV.
Can't he? And oh, by the way, it, with alarm systems, if you like crack open a window, the alarm goes off.
No one's got
alarm system.
No, it's really
especially
any
guys who are committing, you know, multiple murders.
Nah, you know, Dexter just always found the right places too. Yeah.
How about smashing the lockbox? How about smashing? You know,
that's what
actually,
I would do.
Like this is how we would do it. Here's how we would do it. Where's a hammer?
Exactly.
First, we got to find his toolbox. Then we got to find. Okay, get the hammer out now. Smash the snot out of it. But
here's
take
what
about
I would do.
12 swings to open it.
Put an M80 under it. See what happens.
Let's get Daniel. Daniel's got a draft question. What do you say, Daniel?
A minute. I'll just use my car.
Hey, Daniel.
What's up, Daniel?
Hey, Daniel. Let's see what Daniel's doing.
Confusion. Mass confusion.
So give me one little tidbit that you found out over these last couple of days that you've been holding on to.
So one is, I think it is going to be interesting to see if the first cornerback off the board is Jeffrey Okuda or C.J. Henderson.
Okuda and Brown. There's talk out there.
I'm telling you right now, it's not just talk. I'm now up to three teams for sure who like Henderson better than Okuda. And I think the national narrative, which I've been a part of, to push Okuda, because my ratings come out. I've got the most visible draft ratings. Then you've got national Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, Daniel Jeremiah. Those are like the three big mock draft guys out there that people pay the most attention to. They all have Okuda. So it turns into the national narrative is Okuda is definitely number one, and no one has Henderson in the top 10. Well, what I'm now coming to find out is a lot of teams see it like, you know, I see what the issues are for Okuda. I see how fluid and graceful C.J. Henderson is. But I think C.J. has done it for longer, and we kind of see who he is, which is a really good corner. He's clearly one of the top two corners. But, you know, he also has some holes. Okuda, you have to do some projecting, but he's got a lot of traits and a lot of potential. I'm just telling you now, that one could be closer than anyone thinks, and there's a chance that number seven, Carolina Panthers and Matt Rhule, will make a decision between Okuda and C.J. Henderson. I think Isaiah Simmons is going to be the guy who falls. He will fall. I would say there's an outside shot at seven, but my guess is he will either have to go eight or he could end up falling even outside of the top 10 potentially. This tackle thing is freaking everyone out. The Tampa Bay Bucs are trying to trade up to get a tackle. The Falcons are said to be looking to get up to get a cornerback like Henderson or Okuda, either one. But then I heard yesterday this may be a sneaky little ploy to actually get a tackle as well, because once you get past the big four tackles, you go into a next tier of tackles. So everyone knows that the top that number 11 is the last cutoff for an offensive tackle, the Jets. So they now know their spot where they have to jump ahead of in the draft. You got Steve Keim in Arizona who's willing to trade out. And everyone thinks he's an offensive line guy, you know, that they would draft one, but I think he's willing to add picks. And then you've got seven, Matt Rhule will be in consideration for trading out. I think Jacksonville definitely will trade out if the right offer comes at number nine, even though they could add a cornerback. There's a talk that maybe Jacksonville is not going to be super interested in this draft as much as they are the next draft. So they've got two first-round picks. So what that could mean is they're willing to move back and load up in next year's draft as they accumulate capital to potentially be ready to move around in the draft and do whatever they need to get their quarterback if Minshew doesn't get it done. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. But I'm telling you now, the top 10 is going to really – it is not going to look like how the mock drafts have had it. And I think the best tackle in the draft could be the fourth one to go, Jedrick Wills, because things aren't being – nice things aren't being said about him in Alabama.
Yeah. Well, we see that, though. I mean, there are a lot of times you're like, ooh, number three, what? Ooh, we didn't see. Oh, the Raiders? Wait a minute. He was supposed to last all the way until the end of the first round. Wait a minute. So I don't know that this is going to be much different than other ones like that. But, yeah, you guys are all different on the tackles on which one's the best. I mean,
yeah, it's not who's the best. It's who's going to go first. Which it's really hard to figure out because it's just really, really hard to figure out because one guy's the most athletic and looks great on the hoof, Tristan Wirfs, but Tristan Wirfs' tape is the fourth best of those tackles. Yeah. Andrew Thomas may end up being the first tackle because he's the most known commodity, but he doesn't have the highest upside.
Right. Right. You guys have different – I mean, I've looked. Kuiper's got a different – he's got them in different order than you've got them, and you're higher on Wills than other guys are on Wills. So
other people are stupid.
Well, yeah, I know. I didn't say that they were smart about it.
Yeah,
I said,
okay.
I just said they were different.
But I know where he's going. And, I mean, I know that he's – I don't think he – if he doesn't go four, I think he could slide, even though he's really talented. Because what I'm finding is it's a little – at first I thought it was just one team that had – that said, oh, Alabama kind of killed Wills a little bit. And now I'm finding out it's multiple teams. So if this is like mass information, then – there could be an issue where he falls no further than Tampa at number 14.
And all right, we got calls. We got guys that want to get in here. So let's take a quick break. These breaks are really quick. So all you have to just wait a couple of minutes, and we will be back. These great. We've cut down our breaks considerably since the pandemic. What we want to talk about right now, though, is GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. You got John Clay Wolf, Tyler? No answer. Cool. All right. So I'll tell you about it. John Clay Wolf says, man, I'll tell you what, the market is tough. He has been saying, I'll buy your car, and I will give you more than the other guys are going to give you. As a matter of fact, I'm the only one still out there buying cars. So, you know, you could go to Gen Trade in at the dealership. Okay, that still is happening. But find out how much John Clay Wolf will give you first, because it'll probably be more than the dealership. Now, is it less than you would have gotten 3 months ago? Absolutely, because he's had to recalibrate the entire market. He goes back and sells them, and so does the dealership. They try to resell those cars, and they're getting less for them. So they're going to give you less. Forget what the Blue Book said 2-3 months ago. Forget what you think the value is. And even, you know, a lot of times you might be upside down on this thing now because of the value the cars have lost. But get the most for it anyway. And John Clay Wolf is saying, I will still give you the most. So GiveMeTheVin.com. If you got to sell that car, God forbid, I hope you don't. But if you have to, GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. So, Daniel was, his boss called when we went to him last time, Lance.
Yeah.
So let's find out what happened with his boss, and you know, is he okay? And secondly, does he want us to call his boss so that he won't interrupt him anymore when he's trying to get on the radio? Daniel, what's going on?
Oh, not a lot. Just trying to get through this work day.
Do you want us to call your boss to not interrupt you anymore when you're trying to make a phone call to the?
Say no.
Yeah, I think we need to make that happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you just said that.
All right, give Tyler the number when you're done, and we'll give him a call and give him the what for about interrupting your phone call to the radio station and kind of making the show crappy. All right. So what's your draft question?
Lance, what are the odds you think the Cowboys can move up to get C.J. Henderson? And if we do you think he's another Morris Claiborne?
No, I think C.J. Henderson is going to be better than a Morris Claiborne. So, although I liked Morris Claiborne when he was coming out, but I think he'll be better. I just think there's too much with Mike Mayock at 12 needing cornerback, with the Falcons desperately needing quarterback. I don't see the Cowboys moving up to do that. I do have them getting the guy that they covet in Kalyvon Chaisson. I know that's a guy that they really like, as well as cornerbacks you're talking about. I just think there's too much heat on C.J. Henderson that I mean, the Cowboys, if they made an offer, but it's going to be a pretty expensive offer to go from 17 up into the top 10. That's going to be pretty expensive for a player who there are a couple of teams looking for. So my guess is Dallas won't do it, but, no, if you're willing to pay the freight, anything's possible. It's just a matter of whether or not they'll pay it. We'll see, but I would not make Dallas one of the favorites for cornerback. They'd probably be like fifth or sixth.
Are we done talking about the Cowboys? Great. Who's next? Next up for us is Sky. Sky, what's going on, Sky?
Hey, guys. Thanks for keeping consistent during this time. It's the inconsistent time. It's good to have familiar voices every morning.
Appreciate
absolutely. Well, my question is a well-versed one. I want to know what's going on, if there's any new rumors about Tua and the Dolphins. And then if the Dolphins don't like Tua, what are the odds that they pass completely on a quarterback so they can use those picks to kind of rebuild the rest of the offense looking towards next year?
So in my mock draft, what I had them doing, I don't come up with any preconceived notions other than what I've heard from teams or sources. And I believe that the Dolphins are – so it came out yesterday the Dolphins are trying to get the number 3 pick too for an offensive tackle, so they get their first choice of tackle, and then they would still be able to sit at 5 and potentially take a quarterback. So that would lead me to believe that they still are interested in a quarterback. If they don't take a quarterback 5 – I mean, if offensive tackle's that big a priority, I guess that they draft tackle at 5. And then, if they like quarterbacks enough, they consider using the next 2 picks in the first round to move up to take another quarterback. But they don't know how the board's going to fall. See, this is the most unpredictable year we've ever seen because agents aren't as plugged in and teams haven't had as many conversations with each other. And there's not as much of a consensus inside the top 10. It's very, very different. It's much more wide open. What I had the Dolphins doing, when I passed on quarterback at number 5 for the Dolphins in the mock draft, and I didn't have them trading up, I had to decide between Tua and Herbert. My gut told me Herbert, but I said, you know what? I'm going to stick with the Chargers cashing in on ticket sales and making money and adding to brand relevance. And, of course, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if the Chargers are willing to take the physical chances on Tua, because if they are, if they think Tua's okay physically, I think that's the pick. If they don't think he's okay, then they won't even consider him, and Herbert, I think, will be the pick, even though tackle's a consideration. So once you have a quarterback sliding past the Dolphins at 5, if you don't have the Dolphins take a quarterback and you do have the Chargers take one, the next quarterback, it won't be 7, 8, 9, 10, it's unlikely to be it's not going to be the Jets at 11, unlikely to be the Raiders at 12, because I haven't heard quarterback with them one single time. 13 with 49ers, it won't be quarterback. It's not going to be one with Tampa. It could be, you would think, theoretically, in theory, it'd be great to add Jordan Love or Justin Herbert or Tua. But the problem is Tampa wants to give Tom a weapon or the defense a weapon right now because they want to win right now. They want this draft to count this year. And then you end up going all the way back to Miami's next pick before you have a team that needs quarterback. And so I plugged in Justin Herbert right there, knowing full well that they could trade up and still get their hands on a quarterback. I think that's the move for Miami. Draft tackle at 5, because you're not going to have this kind of opportunity to draft tackle very often. Draft tackle at 5, and then use your next 2 picks in the first round to move up and get the quarterback you like if one slips and falls. And I think Tua is probably more likely to slide, but I had Herbert being the one who slid. And I think Jordan Love could very well fall out of the first round completely.
So Armando Salguero, who writes for the Miami Herald, tweeted this last night. One final thing on the Dolphins-Detroit trade situation. I've been told tonight by a person familiar with what Lions are thinking that they are making plans for having the number 5 overall selection tomorrow night, Miami's first scheduled pick of the draft tomorrow, that Miami will move up and trade with Detroit.
Well, that was what came out yesterday with – it came out with – I don't know if it was Schefter or Ian Rappaport, but one of those guys had that yesterday, that they would try to take their 2 picks in the first round and get up there to number 3 so that they could have 3 and 5. And look, that would make sense. You get the quarterback you want. You'll have the first quarterback off the board, and you'll have the first tackle off the board. Well, I'm sorry, you won't have the first quarterback off. You'll have the first choice of the quarterbacks that you've always known would be on the board. I should say that.
Do you have to move up to do that, though?
Probably. Yeah, probably. I don't think. Look, the wild card is going to be a team like Atlanta could out of nowhere pick a quarterback. You know what I mean? Because Matt Ryan's been in the league a little while. You could end up having the Saints go, you know what? We're going to move up and go grab Tua. or Justin Herbert, whoever the case may be. They could do. If all of a sudden, if a quarterback starts falling outside the top 10 to 11 to 12, they might say, hey, you know what? We're going to go up and get our next Drew Brees. It'll be a little painful not to have a first-round pick this year, and it will probably cost us our first next year, but we think this is a rare opportunity to transition in quarterbacks from one all-time great to a good starter this quickly. That something like that could happen. That's the thing. That's the what if the Cowboys took a quarterback? How blown away would people be then if they took one and they ended up trying to move on from Dak because of the amount of money that's going to be promised to the other positions? It's not like they've been head first into Dak Prescott. You know, if a quarterback falls out of the top 10, then a surprise team will end up with that quarterback, more than likely. I've got him sliding to the Miami because I didn't want to project a surprise, but we'll see how it plays out. The Tua thing to me is fascinating. I think there is a chance that Tua and Isaiah Simmons could be the two who slide, though.
Tua, wow. Wow, if Tua slides, that'll be unbelievable.
And more people are starting to freak out on where to play Simmons because they just say he's not a linebacker right now.
All right, we got more calls, 713-780-3776. We got some questions as well we will get to on the other side. Quick break here. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!